Greetings, beloved brothers, sisters in Christ. What an awesome, mighty God we serve. It was so beautiful to see Brother Raymond in his calling, his sweet spot. I said, Raymond and Naomi, I just stand amazed to watch you. That brother, energy. I mean, traveling all night. And then we get to this airport and he's going down the hall wide open. And I'm trying to keep up. And it's 5 a.m. in the morning and I'm tired and I'm sleepy and I couldn't sleep on the plane. And there goes Raymond. I said, Janice, where is he? And then he's waiting for me and says, where are you? Oh, we had so much fun together. We laughed, we cried, we prayed, we blessed God, and yeah, my. But that man is 65 years old and runs like a 40-year-old. Just amazing. But to see a brother in his calling, and you know, I long for that for all of us. You know, that we are recognizing the calling of God and the gifts and callings of God upon our lives, and we are yielded and surrendered, and we are in the place that God has called us. You see, I know Raymond Burkholder for a long time. Raymond Burkholder had a dairy farm in Lititz, Pennsylvania, to be coveted. Some of the best land in Lancaster County. A herd of cows, high production, modern farming equipment. And there wasn't too many people that were ahead of Raymond Burkholder because he did it with all his might, just like he preaches now, just like he serves God now. And then one day his dad came home with a snowmobile, Raymond's dad. Farmers around the area back in the 70s were getting snowmobiles. Farm implement dealers sold them. And then we were sold snowmobiles. Massey Ferguson snowmobiles. John Deere sold snowmobiles. John Deere snowmobiles. Luke, you remember that, right? When, you know, and then Weavers had snowmobiles. These different farm implement dealers had snowmobiles. So the farmers started buying snowmobiles. And then, of course, the Burkholders, Raymond being competitive as he was, hey, we got to have the fastest one. And they'd all get together and race them out in the hayfield. These are growing men, you know. Don't follow their example. But anyway, Raymond's dad decided he's going to get one too. But he's going to get a fast one. So he went down to old Whitey's in Ephrata and said, do you have any books on snowmobiles? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got some books on snowmobiles, some magazines. So he bought about 3 magazines on snowmobiles, took them home and perused them, and found out which was the fastest snowmobile. Then he got the yellow pages. See, back then you didn't Google. Got the yellow pages and looked, and sure enough, there is a dealer for Rupp snowmobiles in Lancaster. So he had chosen the model and everything. Went down to the Rupp dealer, and this is a 45, 50-year-old farmer, 55 maybe at that time already. And he walks into that dealer, and he sees it there. He sees it there. There it is. So he walks right over to it and said, I'm interested in this snowmobile. The guy looked at him, and Raymond Burkholder's father was much like Raymond 10, 15 years ago, pretty big man, and a farmer. Well, the guy looked at him and said, you can't buy that one. Said, that's a racing machine. That's not for you. You ever had a snowmobile before? No, no, no. But he said, that's the one I want. Well, you can't buy that one. He said, how much is it? And he told him the price, and I won't say it here. He pulled his checkbook out, wrote a check. He said, now, did I buy it or didn't I? He said, yeah, I guess you did. So now you see where Raymond Burkholder gets some of his training, you know, from his father. He's a lot like his dad. So they bring this snowmobile home, and the farmers start hearing, ooh, Burkholder bought a snowmobile. And so they're all waiting for the next snow so they can try out their snowmobiles. And sure enough, gave a good snow, and all the farmers lined up. Elam Root, Raymond Burkholder, David Zimmerman. And I don't know all their names, but they all got together there. I knew some of those farmers in that area. And they lined them all up. And Raymond's dad took the machine, and they dropped the hanky or something, and they took off. Made a loop and came back, and Raymond's dad wasn't very happy because he didn't win. So he said to Raymond, "You take it." Well, Raymond had read the snowmobile books too. So he knew some tricks. So he took that machine, and he spun all the snow out of the track, and set that thing on a good hard pack, and put his weight on the back of the snowmobile, and when they dropped the hanky, he took off like a shot. Front end in the air, could get the skis off, and off he went. And he beat him. He beat them all. But you know what? That was the beginning of his father implanting into his son a love for speed and snowmobiles. And Raymond took that up, besides having the best dairy, or a coveted dairy, not the best, but a coveted dairy in Isaac County. And Raymond began to tune snowmobiles. And he began to do races, and he was fast. And people started coming to him for him to fix their snowmobiles. And so he had all this, a coveted farm in Lancaster County, international tractors, the best, he thought. But his neighbor thought John Deere's were better. So they'd bring them together and they'd race in the field. You know, see who could outdo each other in the plows and, you know, harvesting and all that stuff. And I was a seed salesman at that time, so I would go up there and take pictures of them while they were racing down through the field, trying to see who can beat, you know. Well, then if Raymond didn't win, he would take his tractor and soup it up a little more, you know. And so that's how he did with his snowmobiles. And so there he was with all of this stuff. And everybody was looking up to Raymond Burkholder, the best snowmobile mechanic. If you want your machine to run, take it to Raymond. And he had all the equipment to do it. So he had the dairy, the farm, and the snowmobile business where he could charge a lot of money for his time to do what he did. But you know what? Young men, that fast four-wheel drive truck, that machine, us older men, that farm, that business, one day he was in a meeting. And the gospel was preached. And the high calling of God, of Christ Jesus was preached. And Raymond heard the voice of Jesus calling. Raymond. Raymond. When the game is over, and all the pieces are back in the box, and you stand before Jesus, what have you lived for? What have you given your life for? Those trophies on the wall. Well, at first Raymond tried to sanctify it a little bit. He put on his snowmobile the verse, nice big and bold, right on his snowmobile. "I'm going to tell everybody. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Put that verse right on top of his front snowmobile. It's not quite what God had in mind. Raymond, give me your life. Surrender everything to me. I have plans for you. That 1066 International souped up to 200 horsepower, give it to me. That dairy cow that can milk 100 pounds, and back in those days, that was an achievement. Give that to me. That snowmobile that can race and beat everybody else on that lake up there in New York, give that thing to me. Surrender it to me. Do you think Raymond Burkholder would be today where he is if he hadn't answered the call and surrendered all those things? Nah. Choices. Every day in life we're making choices. The eternal, the temporal. The everlasting, the perishing. You know, Raymond would say he got saved. He wasn't born again. Good church member, sort of. But Jesus isn't Lord of my life. Can you be saved and not have Jesus Lord? I'm not sure. So he surrendered it all to the Lord. Gave it all to God. Repented. Began to witness to his snowmobiling buddies. And some of them repented. Remember Kenny Nault? Raymond got him into it. Fast machine snowmobiling. Kenny Nault. Right up here. The barrel. Anybody remember that? Putting his snowmobile suit in there. And what it represented? Selling out to Jesus. Hallelujah. To gain that which I cannot lose. And lose that which is rubbish and has no eternal value. I'll tell you, Raymond is enjoying his life to the max. He just loves it. And he's right in the center of God's will, I believe. And he's not here to hear me say this. He'd probably say, "Oh, Aaron, calm it down." But I tell you, they flew back with us and are here in the States doing a presentation week. Then he's going to fly back to Chiang Mai and 2 days later go on a 3 week, or is it a 3 month? 3 week for sure. Immediately. I mean, they're just going to jump right in into a 3 week youth Bible school and teaching. Oh yeah, there was a thrill when that machine took off and you know exactly how to place yourself on it and put the weight just rightly distributed on the machine. Not too far front, not too far back. If you're too far back, you get too much air. If you're too far front, your skis are dragging and you don't quite take off as fast as you should. Get that thing just right. I mean the thrill. And then looking back and seeing the others in the dust. But it's nothing. It's nothing. Nothing compared to the thrill of leading a soul to Jesus. Nothing compared to the thrill of being anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost power. Amen? You want to really live? Gotta die first. Fixing that thing up to the T, you know? Adding these lights and adding this stuff and doing this and doing that. Tuning this a little bit more and tweaking that, you know. And then when you drive in and walk away from your vehicle, you look back and, wow. And then you look around to see if anybody else is noticing. Well, that's a very short-lived reward and thrill. But to share Jesus Christ with the hurting, with the lost, with the dying, and to see them come to the knowledge of Jesus and be gloriously saved, that's living. That's life. Oh, brother, sister, young man, old man, forget the big saving retirement account and let's invest in the kingdom of God. Fading is the worldling's pleasure. All is pump and show. It's just going to all pass away. Ah, but he that winneth souls is wise. Oh, those that win souls, they shall shine like the stars. Wow, that's true stardom, not a plaque, trophy. So we were very blessed, very privileged. Spend time with a fellow soldier on the field. Those dear pastors, they were so hungry on the edge of their seat. And God blessed us with good interpreters. I mean, you preach and they're right with you. That is a tremendous blessing. And they're anointed of God and they catch the heart and they're with you. It was such a joy. I said to different ones, I said, I preached my year's allotted messages in 2 weeks. Here I normally preach about once every fifth Sunday or so. There I had the privilege of sharing 15 messages in those 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks. So praise be to God. The seed was sown. These men said, "We are enriched. We are going back to our people." And they were just so thrilled and excited. And that was a real, real blessing to me, a real highlight. And I praise God for it. Open your Bibles to John. John chapter 4. Here we have Jesus going from Judea unto Galilee. And in verse 4 of John 4, it says he must needs go through Samaria. And then reading verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me these water, that I come not, that I thirst not, and neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. We'll stop reading there. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You see, it just doesn't satisfy. That snowmobile is fast, but it's just not quite fast enough. I have a really good reputation as an A1 farmer, but we just need a little bit more milk production. That tractor is powerful, but wow, my neighbor Elam Root got a John Deere now that's more powerful. Now I have to get a more powerful one too, or I'm behind. And the things of this world, they just don't satisfy. If we are looking for fulfillment in these things, the older people are shaking their heads, yes. Maybe if I just add a bigger subwoofer to my sound system, that it really shakes and thumps, I can really feel it in my chest, then, boy, and others will look at me, I'll be the envy of the gang. But you know, sadly, when the thumping stops and you lay down your head on your pillow, I thought that was going to be more fulfilling than that. And you're thirsty again. Doesn't satisfy. But Jesus satisfies. Jesus has living water to give. Living water. This is so amazing. Jesus said to this woman, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Some of us it takes longer to figure out that toys, whether they be men's toys or boys' toys or whatever toys they are, things, pleasures, don't satisfy. Some try a lot longer and harder. Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, man, we're going to really do this thing right. We're going to build pools. We're going to landscape this to the max. We're going to hire the best landscaper. And we're going to train musicians, and we're going to have choirs. And when I sit down in my evening summer chair by my pool, the singers are going to sing, the musicians are going to play, and we don't even need a subwoofer because we have that big bass drum. And I'm going to be so happy for a little bit. And he concludes, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Because you see, he didn't have the living water inside, filling him, meeting his every need and longing, desire through Christ. Wow, I didn't know I was going to preach that. Lord, help us today to lay it all down, surrender it all to Jesus, and come to Him, because He is able to give me and you living water. There's a picture, a prophecy, or a example out of the Old Testament, Ezekiel 47, that speaks of this water, of this living water. Turn there to Ezekiel 47 and verse 1, the vision that God showed Ezekiel, prophetic vision. Ezekiel 47. Those of you who are able to, why don't we stand for the reading of the Word? Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way to the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man had a line in his hand, went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not pass over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down to the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, and whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh. You may be seated. We could read more, but I think we'll stop there. This is a prophetic picture of the waters that issue out from the throne and from the temple and issue out from under the door. And Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. And Jesus is the one who's the giver of living water. Jesus is the fulfillment of this picture that we see here of giving living waters. And what I see here is that there is a beautiful, bountiful supply of this living water. And wherever the living water comes, and whatever it touches, whatever it floods, it brings healing and brings life. Do I need healing in my life? Do I need life? Do I need to be brought out of death into life? Jesus is the one who has the living water. And Jesus said, if you would know who I am to this woman at the well, you know, I mean, she had quite a life. Jesus didn't contend with her and say, no, you're lying. She said, I have had five husbands. So I said, well, you answered rightly. I mean, I think she was trying to fill up that empty spot in her life with everything she could possibly think of. And yet, there she was, destitute. Her life ruined and wasted. What would it be like to be the wife of a fifth husband? Probably felt pretty used and cheap and dirty, you know, and worthless. And there she is, and she meets the Master. The one who has living waters to give. Oh, this morning, Jesus Christ is still the same today. And He has living waters to give. And when we open up our hearts, as was shared here this morning in the devotional, we open up the gates, Brother Paul, and we let the King of Glory come in. He has living waters to give. Oh, you who are hungry and thirsty, you who are sin sick and weary, and you've tried this and you've tried that, and you're trying this, and you're still not fulfilled, and life is still void and empty, and that snowmobile is still not fast enough, and whatever it is, that cow still doesn't milk enough, that tractor's still not powerful enough, that dress still isn't causing me satisfaction, Still, I mean, I'm trying to be accepted. I'm trying to be somebody. I want to be accepted, and I'm trying to dress right, and I'm trying to do right, and I'm trying to be right. Oh, but you're still struggling. There's still death working inside, and nothing is fulfilling. Surrender it all to Jesus. Come to Jesus this morning. He is the giver of living water. And when the water of Jesus comes into our life, not only does it come to the ankles or the knees or the loins, but it's water to swim in. It's a river. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, the water that I give you shall be a river in you. Not just a little trickle, not just a little bit to sort of half, maybe satisfy a little. But you know what? We have to be emptied of ourselves. We have to give it all to Jesus. That woman had to be honest about her life. She had to tell Him the truth. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've had all these different husbands. Yeah, Jesus said, you said the truth. And the guy you're trying right now isn't even your husband. The one you have now isn't even your husband. I don't know, we can't figure all that out exactly what her situation was, but she was a destitute woman. And she had tried many things in life, and she was at her wit's end that day. And she was a thirsty woman coming to draw water, and Jesus saw her thirst. My brother, my sister, my dear sinner friend here this morning, if you're thirsty for life, and you're tired of living your old way, and you need life, real life, and you need healing, Jesus is the answer today. Jesus is the answer for you. He's the answer for me. Not only did He bring life, not only did He bring healing, but He brought abundance of fruit in verse 12. The trees are for meat and the leaf shall not fade. And there will be plenty of fruit. And there will be new fruit. Oh, beautiful. You want a fruitful life versus that empty, unsatisfying, unfulfilled life, living for self, consuming it all upon my own lusts. Oh, come to Jesus. He is the giver of living water. Jesus, the giver of living water. This is a beautiful picture. Here in Ezekiel, the vision that the prophet saw, it says that they shall be prosperous. They shall be fruitful. They shall be healed. Everywhere that the river comes and flows and everything that it touches, it brings life. And we that were once dead in trespasses and sins are made alive. We are quickened by Christ. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the giver of living water. And it satisfies. Jesus satisfies the hungry and thirsty soul. This is our inheritance. My dear brother, sister in Christ, thus saith the Lord God, whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and ye shall inherit it, one as well as another. This land shall fall unto you for inheritance. This is our godly, righteous, rightful inheritance. That we should have living waters, that Jesus Christ dwelling in us by faith and in reality springs up inside of us into a river of everlasting life. And life is full and fruitful of blessing along with persecutions. No, don't come to Jesus because you want a better life. Necessarily. That can be a wrong motive. But come to Jesus for the glory of God, because He saved you and called you with a holy calling and a high purpose, rather than to just live a substandard life, consuming it upon ourselves, but rather living for Jesus. Living waters. My dear brother, sister. My dear sinner friend this morning. There is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Saints, redeemed ones. Elect, called out, chosen of God. Oh, I was just so blessed this morning as I was thinking of my dear church family and how you all so unselfishly give to me. How you love me and care for me and how you pray for me and how you accept me for just who I am. I just was so overwhelmed this morning with gratitude. And I was thinking of how Paul, many times when he wrote letters to the churches, oh, he said, my beloved, my longed for, my rejoicing, you know, oh, I delight in you. I pray for you. And being gone for those 3 weeks, you know, I missed you all. And to come back to my church family, it's just like, so lovely. This is my home. You are my people. I belong. And you belong. We belong. We're a part of the family of God. We say brother and sister around here. Because we're a part of the family and each one is so dear. This morning as I was just here in the early hours and just asking the Lord and praying and I thought, I wonder how could there be a blessing given to this congregation in a greater way maybe than what I have in the past and how we could pray for one another and bless one another. And a thought came into my heart. And so, you know, I can be a little bit radical maybe, out of the box. So I thought, well, I better run that thought by my wife. See what she says about it. And so it passed my wife's approval and blessing. Because see, I need my wife. I'm a poor man. I can get off. I can, you know. And so she helps me. She's my helpmate. Great blessing to me. And I thought of a time of blessing here in the congregation. So I was just praying for you all and giving thanks to God for you all. But what if we did this? What if we had the 21 to 39-year-olds stand to their feet? And then the rest of us would give thanks to God for them and pray for them. Does that sound like maybe something the Lord would want to do? Or is it just me? Could we do something like that? And then we'll go other age groups also. You know, that principle of blessing, of praying one for another. Why don't we do that this morning? Can we do that? Will you allow me to do that? A little bit out of the box. All right. The 21 to 39 year olds, men and women, stand to your feet, single or married. 21 to 39. Praise God. My dear brothers and sisters that are seated, look around you and give thanks to God for your brothers and your sisters. Now I want us all to pray for them. Let us all just lift up our voices to God and give thanks to these dear saints of the Lord. We honor you. We bless you. You have weathered many storms. You have made many decisions that were right for God, or you wouldn't be here this morning. God bless you. We appreciate you. We value you. You are valuable to God. You're valuable to us. Let us pray for them. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for these 21 to 39 year olds, faithful men and women. Lord, we ask you to bless them abundantly. Lord, we ask you to bless them mightily with the heartbeat of God, with the joy of the Lord, and Father, with the river of life of Jesus flowing out of them to touch many of their friends and their loved ones and those co-workers, wherever they be, wherever you call them, Lord. Oh God, bless these dear saints. Bless these dear sisters. They are thine. They are bought by your blood. They belong to Jesus. Their lives are a testimony of the saving grace of God. Oh, thank you. Thank you for each of these dear brothers and sisters. Bless them. Bless them. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just look around one more time, all of us who are seated, to these that are standing. Let us value and treasure this age group in our church. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's have those that are 12 to 20. 12 to 20. Stand to your feet. 12 to 20, the handmaidens of the Lord, young men, praise God. I won't call anyone out by name. I won't embarrass you. I love you. We appreciate you. Mothers and fathers, older brothers and sisters, younger ones, look at those that are standing. Those that are standing for godliness. Those that love God, those that have made commitments to God, those who are seeking the Lord, those who are yet young and maybe they have not yet committed to God, but God has His eye on them. They are precious in His sight. They are precious to us. You are precious to this church. We value you. We love you. We appreciate you. Let us pray for them. Amen. All of us together, pray for these young ones. Father, thank you. Thank you for these dear youth. Oh God, thank you for these dear youth. Lord, we ask your blessing upon them. Oh God, we ask your presence upon them. We ask, Lord, your grace mighty upon them. We ask, Lord, your keeping power upon them, Lord. We ask, Father, that these young ones would be anointed of God. Be used of the Lord to bring glory and honor to your name. Father, we value them. They are precious to you and they are precious to us. Oh God, bless them. Bless them abundantly. May they in their youth be filled with the Word of God and overcome that wicked one. May they serve God all their days. Oh God, we thank you for them. We love them. Bless them, Father, each one. And may each one know that they are loved of God, highly treasured and valued. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just look around. These dear, precious young people. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. 40 to 59. Do we have anybody here that's over 40? Here's one. 40 to 59, please stand. Oh, praise the Lord. As I was just thinking of you this morning, how you've weathered many storms and how you've stood strong through the testings and trials of life and how the enemy was out to destroy you. But you overcame that wicked one and here you stand this morning. Just look around. The Bible speaks of those that are older, pillars of the truth, rooted, grounded. Oh, God bless you, dear sisters, dear brothers. Now, all the rest of us, let's pray for these. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the fathers and the mothers. We thank you for these in this age group, Lord, who are older, who are filled with wisdom, who are filled with the Spirit of God, who are filled with wisdom and counsel that we need to hear, we need to draw from, we need to respect and honor, and we need to be sitting at their feet and learning. Oh God, bless these, Lord. Thank you for their example of faithfulness. Thank you for their example of standing through the tests of time and the trials of life and the changes of life and the disappointments in life and all the things that they've gone through. Oh, Lord, Lord, thank you for these dear souls, for each one, Lord, for the prayers, for the tears, for the love, oh, God, and the thousands of other things that we cannot even mention. God, thank you, Father, for these dear precious souls. Lord, we ask a blessing upon them. We ask the blessing of the Lord that will keep them and will undergird them and will strengthen them and cause them to run and not be weary and to walk and not faint. Oh God, faithful, faithful brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for each one. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Now all of you look around, you young ones, and realize what a treasure we have. What a treasure we have. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, is there anybody here 60 years or older? There won't be quite as many that in that category. But 60 or older, do we have a few sisters, a few brothers? Praise God. Yeah, I hardly know what to say here. Years ago, I longed for older brothers and sisters in the church. And we knew it. Denny, Mose, we lamented. We don't have the wisdom of years. Oh, God bless you, each of you. You have a very valuable place in this congregation. You are an example in so many ways to the believers. And I know you many times don't feel like a spiritual giant. But I want you to know, we appreciate you. We treasure you. We value you, older brothers and sisters. We value your counsel. We value your wisdom. We value your prayers. Your life's experience. Oh, brothers and sisters, just look around. We are rich. We are blessed to have these dear saints for all these many years of faithfully walking with Jesus among us. Part of the body here. Let us pray for them. Let us pray for them. Father, we thank you. Please lift up your voice, all of us together. Father, we thank you for these dear brothers and sisters. We love them. We treasure them. We need them. They are a tremendous asset to this congregation. Oh God, we don't want to flatter them, no. But Lord, we love them and we appreciate them. We appreciate what they've stood for all these years. They haven't cast in the towel. They stood strong. They're holding firm. They're holding fast the faith. And Lord, we pray that you will keep them, God. We pray that you will keep them strong, that they could have the testimony of Paul, that I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Oh God, I pray that you will bless these dear brothers and sisters and inspire them, Lord, with the things that you have for them to do. You didn't call them home yet. They're here for a purpose. Oh God, I pray your anointing upon them. I pray your wisdom upon them. And I pray, Father, that they will know how valuable they are in your sight and to us also. Oh God, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Oh Father, we thank you for these dear older brothers and sisters. We thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon them. As they get older and they have more aches and pains and you know difficulties in life, Father, we pray that though the outward man maybe experiences some failing of health and so forth, but God, I pray that the inner man may be stronger every day and renewed and strengthened every day. Father, we thank you for their prayers. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their counsel. We thank you for their steadfastness, O God, and their godly example. O Lord, bless them. May they always know that they are treasured by you and by us. We love them and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Just look around you, my dear church family. We are very blessed. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now all the precious little ones. Anybody big enough to stand. And even the babies. Fathers can lift them up. All the precious children. Up to 11, because we had, let's see, what did I do? I did 12 and up, so now it's up to 11. Amen. You know, and as we look at these precious little ones, these dear ones, we think of Jesus. He loved the children. In Mark it says they brought infants to him to bless. Jesus took time for the children. Jesus exhorted us older ones that except we become as little children, we can't even enter the kingdom. You know, children, you are very precious to God. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God brought you into this world with a very specific purpose. And God cares for you very much. Jesus demonstrated that so clearly when He's here among us. Let us pray for these little ones. Let's lift up our voices together and pray for these precious children. Precious souls whom Jesus loves. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for these precious children. Oh God, we ask you to bless these precious children. We ask you, Father, to hold them in your arms. Oh, wrap your arms tightly around each of these precious little children and protect them from the evil that is in the world. Oh God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would hold these dear children in your loving arms. And Father, that you will bless them. And Father, that you will deliver them from evil. And Father, that you will fill them with a reverential fear of God in their childhood. And a love for God in their childhood, O Lord. We pray that they will be blessed abundantly in their homes. We pray they will be blessed in this fellowship, Lord. And Father, we pray that they will grow up to be as arrows, mighty arrows in the hands of a mighty man and a mighty woman. Oh God, children are an heritage of the Lord, and we thank you for the heritage of our children and our grandchildren. Oh God, bless these precious children. And oh God, may we as parents, may we as elders, may we as brothers and sisters in this congregation always show the love and the value to these children that Jesus shows us. Oh Lord, God forbid that any of us should ever offend one of these little ones. But God, rather that we will be a blessing to them all their days. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for these children. Amen. God bless you, children. We love you. You're precious to God and to us. God bless you. You may be seated. There is a river that flows from God above.
fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to this water.
God bless you. Thank you for your attention.
Well, it's a blessing to have Aaron back, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Blessings
are fun. Praise God. Maybe somebody has a testimony here today of how the living water touched your life this week. Or today. Doesn't that make you thirsty when you hear that kind of preaching and see what God's done in people's lives, reminded of what He's done in our life? Anybody have a testimony today of that living water? Okay, go ahead, Claire. There's another one up here.
As more of a confession probably than a testimony, but I was really blessed with the service so far, just the theme of compassion and blessing. And so I'm convicted that I need to learn more about that compassion and the blessing. And so I just pray that God would open up my heart, that I would be able to be more of a blessing to each one of you, to my family. And that I could, just be cheering you all on for God's glory and honor. And I really felt the anointing of the Lord here this morning. And I just want to praise the Lord, for I sense that we've been richly visited this morning. God bless you, Aaron, for sharing that. God bless you, Dwight, for sharing. Paul this morning for sharing, and I was just really blessed in our Sunday school lesson that just everything just flowed together, just the tremendousness of God's mercy and compassion and how much that's really who He is. And as I get to know more of my identity in Christ and knowing really who He is, I'm looking forward to that for His glory and honor. God bless you all.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful to be here. I don't like testify because I used to cry. But anyway, this week has been so special, and today topped it off. But I hadn't been feeling well for quite a while. Little things come up here and there, and I was blessed. Well, I was down on Tuesday. And Wednesday, I don't know if it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, the Lord spoke to my heart. I don't know if it was a vision. I guess maybe it was. But anyway, the Lord spoke to me and gave me the picture in my mind that I was just like a man at a... words don't come to me easy. And like a man at a place where you rent cars, and when you go to these car dealer places and rent a car and you bring it back when you're done, and it has to be all gone over again. It has to have the seats cleaned inside, has to have the outside washed, it has to have checked to see, put more gas in. It has to have before you take it back out, you have to have it checked, go around somebody to check it, see whether it has scratches on when you get it and when they send it out again, so that they know who to charge for these scratches. Anyway, it has all kinds of things that have to be checked inside and out and refurbished. And he said, you're like this car. You need refurbishing. You need to have refueling. You need to have your windows washed. You need to have the inside, the carpeting cleaned, the whatever that needs to be redone. And this living water does this. I thank you for this message and Sunday school lesson and all. It was all very good. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
You forgot to mention the part where the Lord said that, you know, where he can send out a 1924 car still. Praise God. Amen. Was there another hand? There's one over here. Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
This week has been a challenging week for us as a family. And I'm just thankful for God and His strength that He's given us in dealing with some family things. And thank you for those of you who are praying. And we really feel encouraged through that. And we're thankful. I just want to give praise to God for His grace, and that through tough times He'll cause us to grow. And all things work together for good to those who love God. And pray that God would give us wisdom and love. And we appreciate your prayers. If you want to know more, you can ask me. Thank you.
Let's pray for them. Remember that. Go ahead, Dwight.
I don't know how to say specifics about my week, except God was there. His peace was with me. It's been good. Brother Ross said something this morning that may go on the wall of our house. I want it to stay in my memory. He says, the Holy Spirit talks English. And I'd like to give a little exhortation to Brother Aaron. All of us, Brother Aaron, are learning to hear the Spirit's voice. And if the Spirit says, jump over the box, and you don't even have to mention it then. Just obey the Holy Spirit. It was a blessing. Holy Spirit talks English. I'm at a place in life that I feel God urging me to venture with Him. I don't know how to do all that. I want Him to free me inside, and I want Him to free everything around me so I can do that. And so this week I'm determined to seek Him for some specific answers. And I'm telling you that so you can pray with me.
Let's pray for our brother. Go ahead, Timothy.
As I was pondering this message, thinking of the river illustration there in Ezekiel, I'm thinking, okay, I know that I want to experience a lot more of God's blessing, His love, His power in my life. I want to experience more of these living waters. And thinking about it, so there's three positions given in that illustration: ankle depth, knee depth, waist depth, and waters to swim in. I was reminded of my fear of water. I really don't like to get to that position where there's waters to swim in the natural sense. I don't enjoy that. I really like to be able to reach the bottom. But God is calling us to go all the way, lose our fear. Just put that behind and know that He is the one that's calling us to go all the way out to where the waters are to swim in. It's safe. It's not like waters here, physically. We're talking of safe waters to swim in God's love.
Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Go ahead,
Yeah, I just want to praise the Lord this morning for His goodness. I just wanted to share with the congregation here. Last week, I can definitely say the living waters touched me. I had this problem with my eye. I just seemingly I got something in my eye at work, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on there. I went in the restroom to check, is there anything in my eye, and I just couldn't see anything, couldn't find anything, and didn't know what was wrong with it, but it was always just bothering me, like at least for 4 hours or more, and it really irritated me. But it was in the afternoon sometime around there, I just kind of just surrendered it to the Lord. I just gave up. I felt like God was trying to say something or teach me something, give me faith or something. But yeah, around 2:30, I think it was, all of a sudden, boom, that thing just left. It just disappeared. And I just was like, praise God. And I knew it was God. It was just something quickened me. And yeah, I just want to testify to the Lord's faithfulness. I don't know how big that might seem to you, but to me, that was the hand of God. And I just praise God for that. It really boosted my faith in believing God, that God is still a miracle-working God. He can do anything. He can heal anybody. And so I just want to praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing the message. I was blessed.
Praise God. He touches us in so many different ways. George.
Hallelujah. It's great to hear that. God is so good. I just want to testify to His goodness. I want to publicly thank Him for taking me through the trials of the last 3 years. It's been so good. Sometimes it didn't feel good, but the Lord is so good. In His arm, He will not take you anywhere where His arm will not keep you. And He's showed that in my life, and He's done miracle after miracle in my heart. And I just praise Him and thank Him for it all.
How many of us have received courage watching Brother George go through his trial? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's not wasted. It's all for His glory. Praise God. What a testimony. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.